From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here with you on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scents in Davidson, Michigan. You want to check out some sweet, sweet big bucks. Hit them up on their website, conquestscents.com. They are also, of course, they have the TV show Conquest 200, and they've got some great live buck cams going on right now. Also makers of the scent in a stick, the Evercalm and VS1. Make sure you check them out. Also, our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan helping us out. And Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They have gone through a great big overhaul at their store. They're doing a big event and sale on the 3rd and 4th of July. That is this week. And hopefully we're going to get the podcast up a little early, so those of you getting that information will get it ahead of the shows that air on our network. But as always, check out the podcast and pick everything up for free at wildmichiganradio.com. So appreciate you joining us. Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' joining us right now. Lance, how are you aside from wet? And I don't mean from being on the lake.
Well, still drying out from charters this weekend. So it was exciting to say the least. You know, a lot of rain, and I'm not a big fan of fishing in the rain. It's one of the reasons I quit tournament fishing is you got to fish and all that crap. But we had a couple charters this weekend, and just pouring down rain. Luckily, it wasn't cold. The wind wasn't too bad. Sunday, we actually had to cancel Sunday, but we got a lot of rain, a lot of rain in a short amount of time. So it was hard to not get wet if you were out at all this week.
Yeah, my rain gauge kind of runneth over. How do you? I mean, look, and I know while I do not like bright, sunny, clear, calm days. A little rain is okay. A lot of rain, bad for angler. how does the little bit of rain affect you guys fishing? I don't think, personally, from my experience, it's all too horrible.
Yeah, I don't think fish really even know it's raining, right? And obviously, it's overcast, and we had some wind this week, which I think affected fishing more than the rain did, We had enough wind that the water level didn't really rise really quick. And again, we had a lot of rain real fast. You can see it in the marina, but I don't think out in, 18, 19, 20 feet of water where we're fishing right now, the fish even cared about it, right? I think for me specifically, and I think for a lot of guys, the rain becomes much more of a mental thing, right? It's, even though I've got fantastic rain gear from AFCO, it's still just, for me specifically, it just bothers me. I just, a little bit's okay, but when it's coming down like it was this weekend, it's just really hard for me to mentally kind of concentrate. And I know for me, one of the things that I don't do a lot when it is raining, maybe some guys can relate to this, one of the things I don't do a lot is I don't do a lot of my normal working through the process of changing baits and sizes and shapes, because every time I open up a storage compartment, there's just a deluge of water into stuff, and that means now I got to take everything out. I got to make sure everything gets dry. I can't just leave it, like I do. So for me, I think it's more mental. And these big rainstorms, obviously, let's get away from the rain. Pressure changes, right? Mm-hmm. We have, a lot of cloud cover, so we don't have a lot of sunlight penetration. It drives bait off of the surface. It breaks up schools of algae that is attracting fish to the surface. So it does affect fish in a way. I don't think the rain necessarily does. I think the effects of the rain actually are more of a negative to fishing than the actual rain itself, if that makes sense, right?
It does. Lance Valentine, Teachin' Fishin', joining us here on Wild Michigan. Lance, I've fished the bay a number of times, and it's a nice, big, open span of water that it's kind of like Florida. You can see the front coming a long ways away, and I've, again, from personal experience, sometimes when that front comes in, the fish just get triggered. And you get that short, quick, crazy bite, and then it stops.
Yeah, we saw late in the week when the first major front really came through. We had a really nice window of about 2 hours there, and then the front kind of came. You could actually physically, if you're on the water like I was, you could actually physically feel. You know, you could feel the temperature change. You could feel the pressure change. Here comes the heavy rain, and the fish kind of stopped for a little bit. But after about 2 hours of that, they kind of fired back up. You know, we're in, you know, summer peak, late summer peak, you know, early summer patterns here on Saginaw Bay. So the fish are in good-sized groups. There's a lot of fish together. They're fairly aggressive. They're fairly active. You know, the water temperatures are getting up in that, you know, low to mid-70s right now. So, you know, these fish are feeding a lot. There's a lot of fish in the system, which means there's a lot of competition for bait. So, you know, we saw a little 2-3 hour lull that day when the front first came through. But then after that, even with the rain as crappy as it is, you know, for fishermen physically or mentally, the fishing never really, really stopped. I know the guys had a tough day Sunday. I didn't fish Sunday morning. We had one of our trolling boot camp classes on the Angler Quest there at the dock. We were going to go out, but I called one of my charter buddies, and they said the winds were, you know, they were fishing 2.5-3 foot waves. On Sunday, I know the guys that went out Sunday, some of them struggled. You know, there was a lot of our charter guys had 8, 10, 12 fish on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the end of it, right? That was kind of the back end of the front. And I think, again, once that front moves through, pressure changes, temperature changes, the weather that has been, no matter how bad and crappy it was to us as humans, it had been the same for 3 days, right?
Right.
So the fish were back on fire, and all of a sudden the front goes through on the backside. And everything that comes with it, the clear skies, the high winds that kind of blow it out of there, that turned the fishing off. So no matter how we look at it as humans as being, you know, rainy and crappy and windy, and as long as it stays that way for 2 or 3 days, the fishing was actually pretty good. So you're right. There was a concentration of good activity at the front, bad fishing at the back when the front moved through. But during the front, during the rain, if you could put up with it, you could mentally handle it. Fishing was actually pretty good.
Speaking with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing, I'm Duran Martinez. And Lance, please forgive the very bad impression that's about to take place. But I just had this George Bush moment right there with you. Okay, got the front, which is good, and then the back of the front, which is bad. So, Dana Carvey fans, you'll get that whole thing. Anybody under
right.
like 40, just forget it. I'm sorry it even happened. But
just fast forward.
If you're listening to the podcast, you can just clip through that market, clip through it, and then you folks on our stations, our affiliates, please don't dump us. So, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, sometimes the worst thing will trigger something in my head. You know, kind of like these fish go crazy with the front coming through, but I guess that's one way to kind of remember it too, that the front is the beginning of the front is a good thing, and it's just kind of, you know, messes with their lateral line, gets them all fired up and out moving. And before I ask the next question, I'm just going to hold off on it because unlike Mark Martin, God bless him, it won't take 20 minutes to get an answer out of you for this. But well, and I'm picking on Mark because I love him. But again, I'm going to do a 2-hour show with Mark called Four Questions. In a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you something about water clarity, you know, after a rainstorm, because I know that these rains, as heavy as the downpour was over the weekend, will really mix some things up. I mean, on the rivers, it's all chocolate milk. Forget about that right now. But you know, on the bigger water, when you have that kind of water coming down, it's definitely going to affect some, moving some things up. So I want to talk about that in the next segment. So if you don't mind hanging on, we will do it that way.
You got it.
All right. So we're speaking with Lance Valentine, Teaching Fishing. He's out on Saginaw Bay doing the educational charters, which are fantastic. Lance has been with us since the very beginning of this show, nearly 15 years ago. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Wednesday night is auction night. And the 4th of July weekend, it's going to be the Big Bang Sale. So make sure you check them out. There's a link to them on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here via podcast or via the affiliate stations of the Michigan Talk Network. Love it either way. Being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Big 4th of July celebration for their remodel and sale this weekend. Make sure you check them out online also at notjustguns.com and their Wednesday night auctions. Back to Lance Valentine teaching fishing right now. Lance, I alluded to a little bit about talking about what happens to the water, I mean, after a great big rain, because like you said, you have algae that brings the smaller fish to the surface. You've got, that's the bait fish, which brings the walleye up a little bit higher into that column. But with a lot of heavy rain, consistent rain, you're going to have issues with water quality or clarity rather. And maybe even finding fish along the way when this like system is over with.
Yeah, so you know, water clarity, usually in a lake situation, isn't a big deal in open water, right? So obviously every little gully and ditch and creek and river is just loaded with you know, muddy, crappy water right now. So a lot of our negative effect of water clarity is going to depend on which way the wind blows. So you know, traditionally, you know, fish in Saginaw Bay, you know, let's go back. Let's take the Detroit River, kind of a little easier, right? There's going to be a ton of water dumping in from the Rouge River, dumping in from all the little creeks and all the little sewers that come in on our side, the west shore of the Detroit River. But if there's no wind to blow that offshore, the current catches it fast enough, and it keeps it, you know, within 30, 50 feet of the shore. So that's really the only place we get dirty water. Outside of that, you know, it doesn't get dirty. And that's what's going to happen on Saginaw Bay, right? We'll get some water coming in from the Saginaw River. We'll get some water coming in from the Kaukaulin River. We'll get some water coming in from a couple little ditches and little streams, little creeks that run in there on my side, on the west side from Linwood, you know, the Quonicusee River. You'll get some obviously dirty water coming in. The question is going to be which way does the wind blow to send it? Because if the wind doesn't blow and move it out to open water, it's going to be a very, very rare situation where even a rain like we've had the last couple of days is not going to affect the water clarity specifically out in the water we're fishing. You know, we're fishing 14 to 18 feet kind of in the middle of the inner part of Saginaw Bay there. And it's going to take a lot of wind to move all of that dirty water out there. And usually, and this is where guys kind of get a little, you got to be a little careful about dirty water. And we talk about this all the time, talking about Detroit River, is the water dirty or is there dirt in the water? And it's two different things. Dirty water means that there is sediment, there is color, there are site-altering things in the water throughout the water column. So fish even down 15, 16 feet, 14 feet can't see, right? They can't see as well because there is dirty water. Or is there just dirt in the water, which means we've had a big rain like we've had. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the creeks, and wind is kind of carried, but it's only 2 or 3 feet down. So the water is still clear below it. It's just kind of altering light penetration, so things do change, but the fish are still biting because the water down below is still clear enough for them to actually see. So there's two different parts to the water clarity thing. Is the water dirty or is there dirt in the water? And traditionally, the further you get away from the genesis of the dirt coming into the lake, the better the chance that the water just has dirt in it, and below that top 2 or 3 feet, you actually have fish that are still going to bite.
You know, it's funny, speaking with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing, how, I mean, salmon are opportunistic feeders, they're voracious, walleye, same thing, but yet salmon love that mud line. They love going in and out of that area, and walleye are like, hey, no, they're, you know, out in the deeper water, a bit cooler water too.
Yeah, but, you know, we will see a mud line set up, you know, around, you know, the shallow water areas, you know, Pinconning and Linwood and some of the shallow water places that we fish, and there will be walleyes on that edge that are using that edge, you know, just like an animal would use, you know, the edge of a tree line. It's the same type of thing. So you've got to kind of you kind of got to look at dirty water as where you're fishing, right? So I'm fishing out in the middle of the basin, kind of in the lower part of the inner bay. So to me, I'm not worried about it unless we get a huge southwest wind and blows all that water, all that dirty water out to where I'm fishing. That's probably not going to happen. Now, if it was a week or two later, and I was up fishing 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 feet of water up in Pinn County, off the Pinn County Bar, I'd really be worried because now the influence of that dirty water could actually get out to where my fish were. So a lot of it depends on where you're fishing. You can't just look at water clarity, even on a small lake. You can't just look at water clarity as an all or nothing thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where did the water come in? Where did the wind and or current move it to? And is it going to be dirty water or just dirt in the water at the surface? So you got to kind of look at it in big picture and then kind of look at it as a microcosm, actually where you are fishing. So it's kind of a big picture, small picture thing, depending on what part of the lake you're fishing and where the wind is actually blowing the dirty water.
Man, so much to learn in such a little time.
Well, you know, and again, it's just one of those things where you can't just – everybody wants an easy answer, and there isn't one, right? There just isn't one. And you can – look, and you can do it for anything. I don't care what you're doing. You can do it for any subject, right? You know, we could have a conversation about what's the best gun for shooting deer. Well, okay, am I hunting up north in Michigan where there's all kinds of woods? Am I hunting out in Iowa where I've got all kinds of open land? All those things are different, and nobody thinks about it in fishing. They just want, here's a question, here's the blanket answer, let me go. And then they complain that they can't catch fish consistently, that the fish aren't biting, and then they go buy more shit that they don't need. So it's frustrating for someone who teaches fishing that people just don't want to take that little extra time to understand how everything works. You know, and again, you and I have had this conversation thousands of times, and you know I'm not a hunter, right? You know, I think your listeners probably know that. They're probably, oh, great, here comes the non-hunting guy talking about hunting again. But if people would invest the energy and the time and the brain power into thinking about conditions about fishing that they do into conditions about hunting, they'd catch a lot more fish.
Right.
Right. So go. Facebook's a great example. Go to Facebook. There are sites, including ours, that post fishing reports. I probably had 35 fishing reports on our Facebook page this week from guys. So there's all kinds of information. Invariably, somebody will get on the Facebook page at 7 o'clock on Friday night and go, I'm going fishing this weekend. Where are the fish biting? No, not even a thought in his mind to go back through the past week and look at all the fishing reports and learn what he needs to learn.
Right.
Nobody gets up opening day of hunting season at 5 a.m. and says, I'm going to go out and shoot a deer today. Hop in the truck to go shoot a deer. Where do I go?
Right. But
why is there a disconnect with doing all that work for hunting but not doing that work for fishing? Why is there a disconnect?
Now, I'm just going to say this real quickly. There's not a lot of prep in Michigan that goes on because you can go to any range or listen outside November 14th when you're trying to squeeze that last day of bow hunting in and everybody's touching off trying to sight in because they didn't do it the whole rest of the year prior to this day. Now, mind you, that's right. A bow hunter's complaint, and I digress. Back to fishing.
No, but it is the same thing, right?
It is, absolutely.
Put the time and effort in, guys. Put the time and effort in. The information, I said it yesterday in my class, we have more access to information now than we ever had, and we are dumber than we've ever been.
Totally agree. I could honestly could not agree more. Technology has ruined us. Thank you, Lance Valentine, teaching fishing. Duran Martinez hanging out with you here in Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing. And teaching is what we like to do. I let the experts teach. I just ask the questions. Find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. There'll be direct links to our sponsors, like United Deer Farmers of Michigan right there. Happy to have them on board. And also Not Just Guns. Make sure you check them out. Big doings going on this weekend. They've remodeled. They've expanded. And you can find it all out online at on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, which takes you to notjustguns.com. But right now we're going to talk to my good friend Ed Shaw. He is based out of the Cadillac area, Mitchell State Park, and the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. I got all the big words out. Ed, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, man, because you know what? When we first started talking to you way back when, Outdoor Skills Academy had just started. We had taken the bear hunting class. Since then, you've had all kinds of ice fishing schools, steelhead, so many different types of classes at these Outdoor Skills Academies. And, dude, now this has blown up so big that, I mean, frankly, I'm not saying I didn't see it coming because of how well things were run, but to have expanded this fast, I'm really surprised and happy for you guys up there.
I'm like a duck on a pond, right? I can't offer enough classes, and every time we add a new one, it's filling right away. And I couldn't be more thankful to the public. You know, it shows that people want to get outdoors and learn, and they want to learn from the experts, you know? So it's been a great roller coaster, I can tell you that.
You know, having grown up in Lansing, but my parents both coming from rural backgrounds, my grandparents lived out in rural Parma area of Michigan, we learned a lot about the outdoors, what we could eat, what we couldn't eat. And you guys have a wild edibles class that really, you know, there's so much out there that you can forage and eat and do safely, but there's also just as much bad stuff out there that you can eat and really not feel good. So this wild edibles class seems to me like it's going to be taken off like really big.
It is. And I hate to say it, but I'm pretty sure we're taking a waiting list right now for that class. Jill and Aaron are wild mushroom. And they do wild mushrooms and they also cater. So they use the mushrooms in their catering, but they also teach my class on how to identify edible mushrooms. They go over roughly 20 to 25 different mushrooms that you can eat in Michigan. And then I also have a wild expert, edibles expert from Farmington Hills coming up, Nick DeCreasy. He teaches those classes down at their wonderful new Hawk building, which is ran by a very good friend of mine, Brian. So it's I find these folks out there within our state, and I bring them in to teach the classes. So I'd love to say I'm teaching that class like I do the Bear Clinic, but I'm not that guy, right? So that's the best part about the Outdoor Skills Academy is I'm finding the experts, putting it together, and I'm offering it at an affordable price because we're not allowed to make a profit off of this. That's the best part. We make no money.
You know, and that's fantastic, too, because, I mean, look, you can take a plant like a water hemlock and take a elderberry bush. Man, they look a lot alike. The fruit looks a lot alike. But one of them is going to make you very, very sick. And that's the cool thing about learning these wild edibles, to be able to identify what you can eat. I mean, look, you're probably trampling on some chanterelles or shaggy manes throughout the course of the year, and you don't know how good and edible those things are.
If you talk to Jill and Aaron, the best time to be out in the woods foraging for mushrooms is in the fall.
Absolutely.
So when are all we out there, all of us hunters, how many have we walked over a mushroom that's probably worth a couple $100 that we could have just paid for our fuel for the whole hunting trip, you know, by selling it to someone or using it in our venison recipes that we have. And they go through that. That's the best part about them being a caterer is they prepare samples and they actually, and they give recipes on what to use it and how to use those different plants and mushrooms you can find out in Michigan.
Yeah, there's so much out there. Speaking with Ed Shaw from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center at Mitchell State Park up in Cadillac. We are so blessed to have so much flora, if you will, out there because, I mean, look, we have not survived by meat alone in this state. You know, there's so much out there, but when we've gotten away from the natural things, we've lost the ability to do that, but that's where these classes come in handy. And you know what? The internet's a cool thing, but having hands-on experience with somebody with what they do, that's awesome.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, do you really trust yourself to identify something from a picture that could potentially kill you? And that's the nice part about it. And even now when I'm out in the woods, I'm looking for chaga, I'm looking for chanterelles, I'm looking for, you know, lobster mushrooms, all these things that I learned from Jill and Aaron, which I never knew 2-3 years ago. You know, I didn't know much about chaga and the benefits and the antioxidants. There's nothing higher in antioxidants than chaga tea. And you can find it in Michigan just about everywhere.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
And it's pretty cool to learn those skills. It really is. And I'm one, I can't afford to buy that kind of stuff. You know, all the kids I got. And, you know, I'm a state servant. So, you know, it's one of those things that when we find it, we pick it. And we use it ourselves.
All the kids you have, yes. And congratulations on Miss Hazel. We have to give her official radio welcome to the world, Miss Hazel Shaw. That's absolutely awesome. You know, and I'm glad that you are able to join us. Because you're not really working. You're just talking about what you do at work, which is fantastic. But the Outdoor Skills Academy, again, at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac. I know you have some remote locations as well. But another one I want to talk to you about is the survival skills class, because that seems to be a big thing with TV shows, with like Alone. I hate to even bring this one up, Naked and Afraid. But, I mean, there are people out there that survival is what they do and what they learn and teach about.
And again, I'm bringing in some experts for that particular class. And there's some overlaps with the wild edibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for foraging is big. There's a whole social media pages on just foraging in Michigan, which is a great resource. I follow it, and there's questions. You can ask questions, and people will help you. But really, the biggest thing is to do, if you're in the outdoors and there's a lot of interest, what do you do when you get lost? And we're going to go through a lot of those wild edibles, you know, how to forage, what to look for. It'll be a really fun class. And Nick DeCreasy's going to come up for that. Jill and Aaron, we're going to have an array of guest speakers that are experts in those particular fields. And that's the fun part about my job, is not only the students get to learn, but I'm learning too.
No, it is, man. That, like I said, that, and it's the same way with this job. We've been able to bring in the experts and people. This is what they do. Ask the questions and then share that all with everybody that, you know, cares to listen. And very grateful are we for that whole, you know, opportunity to do it. Ed Shaw is our guest here. Interpreter with the Michigan DNR at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac, Lake Mitchell. How's the fishing been on Lake Mitchell? I mean, we've had some rain lately, but doing okay up there?
It's been a great year. The guys have been doing well on walleye. It seems to be a really good year class this year. They're getting quite a few keepers, and the bass fishing is always phenomenal on Lake Michigan and Cadillac. These are two great bass fishing lakes. There's a lot of tournaments that happen on these lakes, but if you catch them in the evening or early in the morning, especially when they're off, not on the weekends, but through the week, if you can get up here, they are very good fishing. And there's no better place to stay than Mitchell State Park, because you can launch your boat, and then we have the canal, and you dock it right on the canal. It's first come, first serve. You know, everyone thinks it's because if you have a camping site on the canal, you get that spot. That's not true. If you're camping, you can use that canal for docking your boat and head out on the water. So
All right. It's
kind of a unique park in that way.
Ed Shaw, our guest. We're going to talk more with you in a couple of minutes. Outdoor Skills Academy up in Cadillac, Lake Mitchell, with Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Conquest Sense of Davidson, Michigan. Awesome sense of the stick, plus the so many other products. Check them out online. There's a link on our website to them at wildmichiganradio.com. Speaking with Ed Shaw right now, interpreter for the Michigan DNR. He is technically off right now, but still sharing some information with us for when he comes back in August up there. But Ed, here's one that really kind of caught my attention, and I want to know a little bit more about this one. It's the class on hunting whitetails naturally. That's an interesting title.
Yeah, it's not like Naked of Afraid where we go out all natural, right? No, it's really geared towards back when the bait ban first came about, and to help people learn how to hunt without baiting, how to trail hunt. I'm a pretty successful whitetail hunter. I've whitetail hunted with a bow my entire life. My family, when rifle season came about, we broke camp and went home.
Mm-hmm.
We would be in the woods the entire month of October bow hunting, and we did a lot of trail hunting. And that's where my expertise comes in, and I pass along that knowledge, what my dad and my grandpa have taught me. And really, you get to learn all the mistakes I made over the years. You know, all those misses, all those, man, I should have sat here instead of here, and all that fun stuff that I learned the hard way, we get to pass on. And me and John Zakrysik and several others teach that particular class. I do touch a little bit on the food plot side of things. Especially in August, there's not much you can plant at that point other than rye and maybe some oats. So we do touch a little bit on that if you got some private land, to give you a little bit of an edge. But really, it's geared towards trail hunting and how to pick out a good spot and be successful.
You know, a lot of that has gotten lost. You know, look, when I was I'm going to throw it out there. When I was growing up as a kid, my dad said it was sit here, the deer will go by. You know, well, that didn't really prove successful for me for a very long time. I start this show, I pick up a bow, I listen to Tom Nelson, bam, first season with a bow in my hand, my life changes. Since then, it's been a lot of success along the way. I'm not saying great success, I'm not saying trophy deer, I'm saying meat in the freezer, and that's what I'm happy with. You know, and any success is better than none at all.
Same here. We managed to take quite a few, several deer last year, just trail hunting, all on public land at that. Now, granted, you know, to your listeners, I do have a benefit of living in the great northern Michigan, and it's easier to do some of that stuff when you live up north or in areas. But, you know, we go through maps on how to pick out those areas before you ever get up here. That way you can do your homework before you ever leave. Southern, mid-Michigan, wherever you're at, you get up here, you know right where to check out and what to look for. And trying to target those areas people may not find because it's a small pocket off the beaten path, and maybe it's not in those big areas around camping areas or big stretches of federal land or state land that get hammered really hard.
You know, Ed Shaw is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Ed, that really seems to be a theme for today. Is educating yourself. We just had this conversation with Lance Valentine. So many guys want to go, hey, I'm going fishing tomorrow, where are the fish at? You know, well, do a little research. Put a little time and effort into what you're doing.
You know, and I follow a lot of the Steelheaders pages, Michigan Steelhead, Tippy Dam, all those social media pages that are out there. And, you know, a lot of guys are pretty rude, but don't be discouraged by those guys, you know, that say, you know, if you get on there and say, hey, how's the fish biting? Or, you know, famous one, right, is where's the fish? They're in the water. You know, don't pay attention to those guys that are trying to be negative, and don't be one of those guys, and really help people out, because the more we grow the sport, the more money we have for natural resources, the more that we can put into those natural resources, the better it'll be. And so that's where I'm at in my career, my life, is to pass on that knowledge and to help people. And when I see those kind of comments, I think, and I try to make a positive comment and help those people. But also the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center, if you're up in the Cadillac area, stop in. That's what my guys do. And, you know, you need to know how to rig up for steelhead. You need to know, you know, some ins and outs on bow hunting. You know, we can bring you right out in the front yard and kind of give you a rundown, a real quick rundown of those types of how to do things. If you want to know how to rig up to troll for walleyes in Mitchell or Cadillac or even out on the bay, stop in. We will help you. That's what we're there for.
You know, that's pretty awesome, too, that you know, a lot of times the DNR in general gets a bad rap. Well, you know, there's a lot more to the Michigan DNR, and I'm going to say this, than the Policy Commission, okay, than the NRC and those, you know, making the rules. You got Leo's out. You got the law enforcement officers out there. You got people like yourself, interpreters and whatnot. that want to help people. And I will forever be grateful to the Michigan DNR up in the Gaylord area when I drew my elk tag. Dude, I knew nothing about what I was doing. I borrowed a buddy's rifle. I stayed in cheap motels. I went to the Michigan DNR so I could find landowners, because they had landowners that were willing to put you on their land where elk were. I couldn't afford a guide. I damn near just said, you know what? I'm going to donate my tag because I don't know what I'm doing or anything else. It was probably the most stressful thing in my life that I had ever done, hunting or fishing, but yet turned out to be one of the most successful things I've ever done as well. Would I go through it again? I don't have to, because I already learned.
You know, and keep in mind that not all the interpreters are going to know hunting and fishing stuff, but like Katie up at the Parkies, you find yourself up in the Gogebic area, especially in the wintertime, trying to fish for those teeter pigs. Katie's a great resource, or go out walleye fishing. You know, she really, I mean, she is a gung-ho fisherman up there, but she lives there. She knows it. She knows the system. And so, and that may not be the case at all of our visitor centers, but I encourage you guys to stop in. We pride ourselves on customer service, and that's what we do. We educate. That's our forte. That's what we're there for, and that's what we're paid to do.
No, it's awesome. I mean, look, everybody, every business, every, you know, whatever it is you do, there's going to be people that you're not going to like, plain and simple. But when it comes to this, when it comes to you guys at the Carl T. Johnson up there in Cadillac, that I know you are there to help people and you enjoy doing it. And you also bring in some of the best people in the state to help do that as well.
Yeah, and I vet them before they come in, right? I sit down and have conversations with these people to make sure they really know what they're talking about. And so folks like Steve Sharp does my turkey hunting place. Oh, yeah. I love turkey hunting, and I got a turkey this year, so I was pretty happy, but I'm not Steve Sharp. You know, I'm not the National Wild Turkey Federation turkey guy, the guy that educates the entire state, you know. He goes all over the U.S. So those are the types of guys, the Steve Sharps in the world, that I try to find. We got Denny Grishuk coming in to help with the bear clinic this year. I don't know anybody that hunts bears more than Denny in the state of Michigan, and he lives right there in Lansing by you.
Now, that's crazy.
So,
because I've never even met him before, and that's. But again, Lansing is one of those places that's really weird. We've got a couple of world champion ice anglers right here in Lansing. You know, with Mike Bodecker, you know, and Norman Smith, who's a world-class angler that teaches up at your ice fishing clinics up there. I mean, Lansing is full of Myron Gilbert, another world-class ice angler, all guys from Lansing, and you would never know it.
Yeah, and Denny, you know, he just finished a couple of books, and he was doing some signing stuff at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, and I had the opportunity to talk to him, and I invited him to come teach at the bear clinic. So these are the guys that I look for, that I have the fortunate opportunities to meet and help try to bring into the class. And the nice part is, you know, Denny's coming up to do it on his own. This isn't something he's getting paid to do, you know, to come in and, mm-hmm. and try to teach. It's their passion. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, you know, you guys have been fortunate. We've been fortunate to meet you and meet a lot of the same people that you know. And share all of that information here on the show. And if you know what, if you're listening to the show and there's a something that you'd like to have covered an area, please, by all means, shoot me an email. Very simple, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. You can call my cell number. It's on there. I'm not one of those guys that's very hard to get a hold of. I'm easy to find, easy to get a hold of, and easy to talk to. So we'd be happy to take your information and help grow this show better and better. Each and every year, I mean, we have to do something different and better all the time. We may have the same guests on occasion, but you know what? They're teaching something different. So, Ed Shaw, we appreciate you joining us here, and congratulations once again on your little one. Enjoy the time, and we'll look
Thank
forward
you.
To those new classes come August when you're back in town.
Waterfowl and pheasant.
All right, man. Check that out. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Ed Shaw, thanks so much. Thanks so much to Lance Valentine, teaching fishing. Got a whole another hour coming your way. If you're joining us, pick us up on the podcast if you missed any of it here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan.